Ways and Means General Government Subcommittee will come to order. We are going to hear House Bill 2828, House Bill 2338, and Senate Bill 5568 this morning. We're going to start hearing House Bill 2338 relating to taxation first. And Mr. Munn, do you want to come up and continue with the information gathering we are having on House Bill 2338?
Would you like to go to testimony of the people you've asked to come and then go through that part of it, and then maybe I can come up and finish any questions and hand out data that you had from yesterday? Mm-hmm. Doris is here from Douglas County. And then the assessors would like to testify after her. So maybe Doris would like to come up first.
Do we have the sign-up sheet?
Actually, we didn't have one.
We had one yesterday. Mm-hmm. Could I suggest that you might limit testimony, the length of testimony, because you have to have a large agenda today.
Mm-hmm. How long should we limit it to?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. We're going to have public testimony for 5 minutes.
Each.
Each? Or 5 minutes for
everyone?
For the whole, well, 5 to 10 minutes. Well,
Madam Chair, the person from Douglas County, though, is that has come quite a long ways. We might give just a bit more time.
We'll give you extra time.
Thank you. I hope I won't need it. I'm Doris Redekop. I'm the assessor at Douglas County, and quite frankly, it's not easy to be in an adverse position from the majority of the people that I work with, the other assessors. But I feel that this funding bill has some problems, and I'd like to address those. The problem that I see is the basically which would raise the most funds, and that's the increase in interest on the delinquent taxes from the present 12% to 16%, which will mean that the funding for assessment and taxation will come from the people who can least afford it. My county, the data processing department, completed a quick analysis of the delinquent taxes in our county, and 44% of our delinquent taxes, which amounted to almost $18.5 million, were from residential properties. We have, over the past few months, been under a strike at several of our mills in Douglas County.
Representative Hanneman, do you have a question?
Oh, I'm sorry. The question was, 44% are delinquent.
44% of the taxpayers are delinquent.
On residential property?
Yes. Those who are delinquent, of that amount that that is delinquent, 44% of those are residential property. That amounts to 30%. Our total delinquency is 30% of our accounts.
So 30% of your accounts are delinquent, and out of that, 44%
are residential
properties.
And that does not include any farms or farm forest parcels, which can have residential homes on them as well.
Madam Chair,
may I pursue for just a moment?
Yes, you still have the floor.
Of the total, the complete total, that's residential, commercial, industrial, farm, and forest, the whole group, how many, what's the percentage of delinquent?
Our total delinquent taxes are $18.5 million, and 44% of those are residential properties.
Okay, not quite my answer. The answer is looking for. Let me later, after the other members ask you a question, I guess I'd want to know your foreclosure rate on the delinquencies too, if when you get to that. I'll pass for now.
I'm sorry, I don't have that foreclosure rate.
Will you be able to come back to the committee with that answer?
Yes, I can. I can get that information and forward it to you. Yes.
Yes, would appreciate that. Representative Sowa, and then Senator Him.
Well, I just wanted to follow up on Representative Hanneman's questions, and we heard the testimony that 44% were delinquent. Is that number or dollars?
That's dollars.
Dollars.
Well, as far as number of accounts are concerned, can you give us an average percentage of your accounts that are delinquent?
No, I don't have it by number of I don't have it by number of accounts.
Mm-hmm. So 44% of $18.5 million. Are delinquent taxes from residents.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Senator Hamby.
Yes, I too would like to see it broken down into residences or whatever you break it down to, rather than
number
just
of
dollars.
Accounts.
Yes, numbers. and the foreclosure. And thirdly, when you state the 44% are residential, what percent of that fraction of the pie are owner-occupied?
I couldn't tell you. We don't have the ability, the computer ability to get that.
We received testimony the other day that a significant portion of those delinquencies are not owner-occupied, but are rentals.
So
that would be an important factor also. Are you able to get that data?
No, I'm sorry. I'm not able to get that data. I did request it. This request came about from the Department of Revenue, and I tried to comply with that, mm-hmm. and our data processing department was only able to come up with a limited amount of data.
Are you automated?
Well, yes, to
you
a
are.
Degree, but mm-hmm. We are limited in what we can instantly pull out in a study,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
unless you prepare for that sort of report.
Mm-hmm. Have you cut back in your department over the last decade in staff in FTE in your department?
Yes.
At Douglas County? How significantly have you cut back?
Well, according to the studies on the disintegration of the tax system, mm-hmm. Our cutback was 25%.
Over what period?
Well, during the economic recession in the early 80s,
mm-hmm.
It was, you know, kind of an immediate mm-hmm. type reduction.
And it was overall county budget, not just your department?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps Mr. Munn can give us an idea. What percentage of the accounts are residential accounts?
Mm-hmm. Just one final question. Is your county in compliance?
Yes, it is, with the exception of industrial properties. And that problem came about because the state primarily handled the industrial properties, and they lost staff as well as the counties. So. And we do have an industrial appraiser now at this time, and we are becoming more into compliance all of the time. As we're able to catch up, we do so. We just appraise as many as we can per year, so we are coming back into compliance in that area as well. The state, however, has stated that they won't be in compliance with the industrial accounts that they're responsible for now until 1994. So as long as they're out of compliance, we'll be out of compliance.
So, Doris, you handle your own industrial appraisals values below $5 million.
Yes. Yes,
and
we do.
You have your own industrial appraisers.
Yes, we do.
How many do you have?
One. Mm-hmm.
Okay, please continue with your testimony.
I believe, it's my opinion, that we have to say that the people who are delinquent on their taxes would have to fund assessment and taxation. To me, seems that we're creating an equity problem because assessment and taxation applies to all of us. I think that not just the people who are delinquent should have to fund it. It should be based upon a cost per account or something to this effect that stays within the county to maintain the local control. For instance, Douglas County has 68,000 accounts. If we were to put a fee per account on each account of $10, that would give us $680,000 per year towards assessment and taxation. We would not have, that fund would stay within the county, and we would not have to have the fund managed by the department, which would eliminate some people. We would not have to have our budgets reviewed at the first of the year by the department, which would eliminate some people. They do have the compliance hammer. There is a compliance statute in effect now, and I have no argument with that. I think that we need to be in compliance, and I think the counties need to fund assessment and taxation. I don't have a problem with that. And I certainly recognize that many counties are out of compliance and do have a need for stable funding, but perhaps we could use another route to do that, mm-hmm. other than putting the burden of assessment and taxation upon people who cannot afford it.
Representative Hanneman.
Did I hear your alternate suggestion as a $10 per account charge annually? Is that what you...
That certainly would be a good option. In my opinion, in Douglas County, it would raise more than the amount that would be coming back out of the fund, according to what I've heard.
Would you have the same $10 assessment on an unimproved lot as you would on a major industrial firm, or would you see a sliding assessment?
You could have. That's just a suggestion. You could have. I don't know that there would be a need for it.
It wouldn't be fair, would it, to charge a major industrial firm $10 and someone with an unimproved lot also $10? I would think you'd want it based on assessed value.
That is a good suggestion. Okay. Good alternate.
How do you go about, levying this $10 per account? Does the county commissioner have the authority to impose this $10 fee on each account?
I don't know that that's true. No, that was just a suggestion. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they have the authority to do that.
But I think it is a pretty viable idea to impose that fee locally and have it spent locally. Do you know what do you anticipate to receive under this program, under the formula in this program?
I don't honestly know what I would... 30% of whatever the fund is is a figure that I've heard that might go back to the counties to fund assessment taxation.
Mm-hmm. So, Ken, can you help us determine what would Douglas County receive, for an example, under this program?
You might be able to check with the Department of Revenue people. I think they've made some projections as to what would go back to the counties to fund assessment taxation.
Mm-hmm. We'll reserve this question for Mr. Munn later.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hanneman.
Come back again with one question. Part of the purpose of the $12 to $16 interest rate increase is because the assumption is that a large percentage of the people are not those who can't pay, but are those who prefer to do something else with their money at a higher interest rate or use it for something else. And I'm not sure if we know what the speculative number of those people are, but many of us believe it's quite high. The $10 assessment or the sliding assessment per year that you would assess would have difficulty answering that question or resolving that part of it. You would agree?
Yes, yeah. I would agree with that. However, if they're speculating on, you know, they're saying that 12% interest is quite reasonable, are they indeed going to say that 16% is quite reasonable also and continue to let it slide, or are they going to say, well, 4% more, I'll go ahead, these people who can't afford to, are they going to say, gee, that's too much, I'm going to pay my taxes timely, and so we indeed have left those people who cannot afford to the extra
Madam Chair,
interest. I don't know, that's been my concern.
Briefly. When we were in a 21% when we were in a high inflation rate in the late 70s and interest rates were at 21%, I think you do find a difference in the economy and what the rates are and whether people decide that they have a better use for their money than paying their taxes. So I think times change back and forth. And how people look at whether they have a better use for their money than paying their property tax.
That's really true. The property tax is a mandated program, and I do believe that the county should recognize that it is their responsibility to fund assessment and taxation.
But you don't agree with the method of funding this program?
Not this. Mm-hmm. I don't. I think that we, in place, we have the, if the counties would recognize that that is an important department and is mandated, the tax rate system that we have in place is by far the most equitable because everybody shares in an equitable portion of that via their value and tax rate.
One more question. I hope you don't consider it too personal, but have you been an assessor for a long time?
I have been an assessor since January of 1987.
Oh, thanks.
2 years.
Yes.
Mr. Munn, is this an answer you can provide to the committee now? Can you come up to the witness stand and let us know how much will Douglas County receive under the formula in this program?
Jim Kenney has worked out the data, and he can quickly say that to you.
Yes. Will you come up to the witness stand, please, and so that we can record this?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Jim Kenney, Department of Revenue. We'd estimate that Douglas County would receive between $500,000 and $580,000 a year based on the provisions of House Bill 2338.
$500,000 to $550,000.
$580,000.
$80,000.
Yes.
A year. Do you know, Jim, if counties can levy fees on each account at the present time, or does it take state authorization for them to do it?
It would take a statutory change. They cannot do it presently.
Mm-hmm. And how can this be done? Does that mean when they send out a assessors the property tax notification, they just add $10 for each account?
Madam Chair, it would have to be something like a surcharge. I might mention that this was extensively discussed in the 1987 session by the Revenue Committee and was rejected at that time.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell the committee the reason for rejection at that time?
I believe their reasoning was somewhat the conversation I've heard from both you and Representative Hanneman. They didn't believe that it was fair. There's many properties that have very little value on the property, and putting a flat fee, whether it was $10 or $20, across the board on all properties, they didn't feel would be equitable.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Doris, do you have an answer to that? Oh, you said that it was a good idea to weigh the value of each account and levy fees proportionately.
Well, that certainly is an alternate. In regards to Jim's statement regarding that there are some accounts that have a very small value and that they couldn't, or it wouldn't be equitable for them, that's very true. We have accounts with a minimum value of $100 that we have to do the bookkeeping on, for instance, mineral rights or small parcels that have been created that have little or no value, and we have to do all of the bookkeeping on those accounts just as though they were a $1 million account. And the taxes that result from those accounts do not even cover the cost of handling those accounts. So I agree with that. I'm not sure that $10 would be unreasonable for just the handling charge on those, but
mm-hmm. So even though the value may be very small, but the work you put in can be just as much as another account which has a much larger value.
That's correct. The bookkeeping alone is very expensive.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Doris while she's on the witness stand? No, thank you.
Will you
stay?
Yes, I will.
During the duration of the meeting, in case we have questions later.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Jim Johnson from Eugene Lane County.
You might want to join Jim Gangle at the same time.
Oh, Mr. Jim Gangle, do you wish to come up at the same time?
No.
Are you all together?
Yes, we are.
Kim Worrell.
Yes.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jim Johnson. I'm the County Administrator of Lane County and have been so for the past 4.5 years. And as County Administrator, I'm the Chief Budget Officer for Lane County. I'd like to address some comments to you, brief comments, on Lane County's responsibility for financing assessment and taxation and our ability to do so, and give you a little bit of history on where Lane County has been and where we're likely to go in the future. Lane County's budget for next fiscal year is scheduled to be approximately $183 million. Of that, however, only about 17%, or $31 million, is discretionary and available for such things as assessment and taxation, for public safety, for county administration, juvenile department, corrections, and so forth. That general fund discretionary budget is increasing by 1.25% compared to this fiscal year. That discretionary general fund of $31 million consists of a variety of sources. The chief source, however, is ONC timber receipts. About $15.6 million of that $31 million comes from that source. clearly well over, clearly 50% of that discretionary general fund is ONC timber receipts. As you're well aware, those timber receipts have gone up and down, a roller coaster kind of approach in the last few years. In 1979, for example, they were $14 million. In 1982, they were $6 million, or a $9 million drop in a county of our size. It's quite substantial. The expectation is that that roller coaster will continue. I think if you've read the newspaper, you're all very well aware of what's happening with the total cut, with environmental challenges, with spotted owl and so forth. We expect that discretionary revenue from ONC to go up and down quite a bit, which does affect our ability to live up to our obligation and responsibility under the law. Our property tax system in Lane County, we collect about $6.3 million under our property tax base. That has not increased since 1919 when it was established, other than the 6% that's allowed by law. So one could say, why can't the counties respond financially to their responsibility? You have to go back to our sources of revenue, with ONC timber receipts going up and down, a very small tax base, and I don't believe that Lane County is that much different than other counties throughout the state. It's important to note also that we have a number of serial levies that are coming up in 1 year for correction services, for extension services, and for police services, rural patrols. It is not a good idea to have those very important services out on serial levies. We'd much prefer them to be in a tax base, but the voters have been reluctant to increase the tax base. Our ability to finance assessment and taxation is taken seriously in the county. But must be put into context of our overall ability to finance that service. An example, in 1979 compared to now, we still have 500 fewer employees in Lane County government now than we had 10 years ago. And we expect that to continue in the future. Lane County has